kind of crazy that we're already at the end of it, but we've enjoyed it, and I just want to say thank you guys. It's really been a blast. If we can go ahead and get the lights, I'll just jump right into the presentation. I don't want to be too long this evening. We've got a packed schedule, and I'm looking forward to getting to the meat of the meeting. That's preaching. But we are the Pizzo family. My name is Justin. My wife is Anna, and our daughter is Catalina. My wife is also about 5 months along in her pregnancy, and she'll be due March 1st of next year. So please pray for the pregnancy as she goes along with that. We are out of Bible Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. This is the church where I grew up from about the age of 5 years old. And my wife grew up under her father's ministry, Pastor Jeff McCardle. He was a missionary to Cuba and the pastor of a bilingual church down in Miami, Florida. So both of us have a very goodly heritage. Both of us have been raised, exposed to solid Bible preaching and teaching. Both of us have been exposed to solid Bible-believing churches. And so we've got a lot of advantages, a lot of benefits that some people don't have, and it has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with where God put us. And so the Bible says in Luke chapter 12, in verse 48, toward the end of the verse, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required." We've been given a lot. And I feel that that means that we are required to give a lot back. And we didn't know exactly how that meant for us, in particular of our family, until the Lord slowly and surely, step by step, guided our steps to the country of Spain. Now, Spain is part of Europe. It is in the European Union. It is on the euro, and it is on the southwestern portion of the continent. It's got about 47, coming up on 48 million souls now, and it is about the size of California, 192,000 square miles of land. The country is split up into 17 autonomous communities, and the government setup is similar to what we have here in America with our states. Of those 17, the Lord's led us to the northeastern region of the country called Catalonia. It's not Catalina, it's Catalonia. There is a difference, and we came up with the name Catalina before we knew this place existed. So God's got a sense of humor, folks. That was all him, not us. This particular region's got a population of around 7 million people, and right now there aren't any American missionaries working in this region of Spain, at least that I've been able to make contact with, and we've looked for them. That we've come across some national guys that are there that are preaching the gospel, but the amount of guys that are out there preaching the gospel is very, very limited. The Lord's been directing our steps to the capital city of the region, and that is the city of Barcelona. In the city alone, there's 1.6 million. In the metropolitan area surrounding the city, it comes up just under 5 million people in this area of Spain. Now, it's located in a very beautiful part of the world. There is no ice or snow, praise the Lord. We don't have to worry about chains on the tires and salt on the driveway step. It's a very warm place, beautiful to look at, and weather-wise, it's very temperate. It gets somewhat hot in the summer, somewhat cool in the winter, and it's pretty nice. But beside the weather, politically, there are some issues. And Catalonia is a very independent region of Spain. The people of Catalonia, many of them, don't identify themselves as Spaniards. They look at themselves as Catalan. They've got their own language called Catalan. They have a lot of their own traditions, a lot of their own culture, and so they're very proud of those differences. And there are some in Catalonia that want to become their own country, and Catalonia is sometimes referred to as a country within a country. When people think of Spain, they usually think of this guy. And his pants are way too tight, and they're really colorful, and he's jumping into a ring with a bull. And this is something that many parts of Spain still practice. And they go and they fight to the death. Well, in Catalonia, it's outlawed. They actually do not allow bullfighting and haven't for a number of years now. Instead, what they have is this sport. And the Catalan word for this sport is castells. It means towers, and as you can see, that tower is made up of people. There on the top of that tower, it's about 35 feet on average. And as the tower gets taller, it gets heavier, and as it gets heavier, you need lighter weight people to make up the tower. So who's light enough to climb a tower but 3, 4, and 5-year-old boys and girls? Catalina is at the perfect age. We just haven't gotten the helmet yet, but we're looking into it. But this is something that you find in Catalonia that I've only found in one other portion of Spain, is Valencia, and it's just the southern region, or it's a region just below Catalonia. And so this is something that's unique to Catalonia, it really is. And this is one of many things I could point out to you guys. But for all those differences, Catalonia still has the same religion, and that is Roman Catholicism. And in this capital city of this region, Barcelona, there is this cathedral called La Sagrada Familia, and it means the Holy Family, and they started building it back in 1882, and they're still working on it. They don't expect it to be finished until 2028. One of the ways they pay for this building is by charging admission into the church. Now, it is basically a big tourist trap, but they still hold active masses in that church. To get in the door, it's about $25 US after the exchange rate, but to get to the top, which is symbolically the closest you could get to God, it costs you $90 a person. The Bible has something pretty negative to say about that system. And I want to make this clear, because this is how God feels about the Roman Catholic Church. Amen. But as Bible believers especially, and people, maybe some of you have been saved out of the Roman Catholic Church, the tendency is to mix God's fury, really, against a corrupt institution, and maybe tend to put that on the individual. And there is a difference between the individual and the institution. You see, Roman Catholicism, like many other, like all other false religions, is very simply a tool in the devil's toolbox to blind the minds of them which believe not. In Spain, it just happens that Roman Catholicism is the most successful so far. About 70%, 69% of the population believes, claims to be Roman Catholic. About 25%, 26% of the population claims to be non-religious. And then everything else is made up of everything else. In Catalonia, the numbers are a bit different, and this is a very secular portion of Spain, so a lot of the younger generation has turned from any traditional religion, and so only about 52% of the population even claims to be Catholic. About a third of the population is non-religious. And Catalonia also has the largest concentration of Muslims. About 7% of the population of the region is Muslim in Spain. And so that leaves very little room for any true gospel witness in the region of Catalonia. And that's our primary job is to get them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in our two trips over there, our second trip, we went last year in the wintertime between January and February. And, well, of course, we had some help getting the tracks loaded up. And we did our best to try to evangelize and just pass out some tracks, really. I don't speak the language, didn't really know a whole lot what we were doing, but we're just trying to figure out what it would take to live there, what it would cost to live there. And while we were doing that, try to sow the seeds of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." I was born and raised in a Christian home. I was born in the light. These people were born in darkness, and I don't understand what that means to be born into darkness, because I was not born into darkness. I was born a sinner, but I got saved very, very young. I was raised with the truth in my lap before I could read the truth. These people were not. And the Lord used this place right here to get a hold of my heart about that. Like many churches in Europe, Roman Catholic churches in Europe, this one is very Gothic looking. It's very dark. It's very creepy is the best word I could describe. And in this particular one, when you go down some stairs in the center of the church, there's this hole that's got some bars over it. And on the wall next to these bars is this box. And there on the bottom of the box, I'm not sure if you can see it, but it says in English, "Lights, 50 cents. You put some money in the box, it turns on the light on the other side of those bars, and this is what the light revealed. And this is the coffin of some Catholic saint that they claim is buried in there. And when you look at it, you see how well decorated it is, and all the candles and the carvings and the tapestries that are on this coffin. And I paid for the light that revealed death. So these people are in darkness, but the worst kind of darkness, the darkness where they think they have the truth, because they're told about the death of Jesus Christ for our sins. They're told about his burial. They're told about his resurrection 3 days later, but not according to the scriptures. The Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And so these people are not only being offered a false light, but they're being charged for it. And you know what? People aren't stupid. They know that what they're being offered is fake and useless, and they know that it's hypocritical to be charged for that fake light. So what do? They turn from anything that resembles light. And the devil's right there with, "Oh, you don't want religion? Well, here's education. Here's the pleasures of this life." And so many young people are non-religious simply because religion has stabbed them in the back. And so the place that we're going to in Spain, folks, is dark. And we need to bring them the light of the gospel of Christ. And in order to do that, number one, we got to speak their language. And I mentioned Spanish specifically because that region is a bilingual region. They have two official languages, both Spanish and Catalan. But we're going to be able to reach the most amount of people with Spanish first. And then I'm hoping by attempting to learn some Catalan, we'll be able to open up more doors into the hearts of the people that are native to that region. Well, so while we're on the road, our focus is Spanish. While we're on the road, our focus is trying to raise our support, and it isn't just about the monetary support. It isn't about the financial support. It's also about that spiritual support. I want to remind you of this illustration that I came across fairly recently. Several months ago, the cathedral in France, the Notre Dame Cathedral, burned to the ground. And in just about a week, men from all over this planet raised $1 billion to repair that cathedral. Man has no problem moving money if they want to. But man praying, that moves God. And I'm more interested in seeing God move than man move. And that's the only thing that's going to make this thing work, folks. It's not about the money, it's about the prayers. And if you'll pray, then you'll pay. So what I want to remind you to do, please, before you leave this conference, you haven't already, there's a table in the back. Grab some of the prayer cards, not just mine, all these missionaries that are here, and pray for us. And if you want to remember us specifically, our name sounds a lot like pizza, so if you could pray for the pizzos every time you order pizza, that's okay. If you mix them up and pray for the pizza family to Spain, that's okay too. We just like for your prayers, and not only for us and the other missionaries who are here, but also for the people in Barcelona, Spain. They're lost, they're in darkness, and there's very, very little light in that region of the country, and they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's really our primary goal, is to see lost folks saved. Even now, when we get to Spain, our primary goal is going to be evangelizing the lost. And I like what Brother Casey mentioned about dealing with the people in Europe. A lot of the best work is going to be done over a cup of coffee in a cafe. That's not the only form of evangelism, but that's going to be where we're going to make some connections. But if that happens and these people get saved, they need to be trained. And I was talking with one of the fellows earlier today, and I said, I don't want to leave the baby out for the wolves to eat. These people need to be trained on what does it mean to be a Christian, what does it mean to serve Christ. And if you got a couple of people together doing that at the same time, you have a local church. And that's really the second burden that God's laid in my heart about the city of Barcelona. There aren't too many good churches, especially in the city. We didn't find any, in all honesty, in the times that we looked for it. And so the burden the Lord's laid on our hearts is to see some lost folks saved and to see some saved folks have a church like you guys have, where you can meet together, worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and learn what does it mean to be a Christian. I appreciate your time. I appreciate being able to have a part of this conference. I'm not great at saying thank you, and she is way cuter. So I appreciate the opportunity. I do want to say thank you, folks. You guys have been awesome. We've enjoyed our time here, and I appreciate being able to have a part of the conference. Whoever's up next, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Amen. It's great to be in God's house. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Thank you, Pastor, for having us. My wife and I, we're excited about, thank you for this conference. I want to thank everyone in here for your time, prayer, your giving. Thank you. I want to thank everyone. You guys have been a real blessing to my wife and I. And I can't thank you enough. You know, as you guys turn there, I want to tell you guys a little bit about what we're doing with my father-in-law. We're assisting my father-in-law. My father-in-law is almost 70 years old, and he's getting a little older, but he's not out of the race, amen. And we want to encourage him to keep pastoring, keep doing what he's doing, and until he feels like the Lord wants to have us take over, it's all going to be in God's time, and I'm not in a rush. And while we're assisting my father-in-law, we're going to start another church on another reservation near us. It's the Kachan tribe. There's about 10 to 15,000 souls there. If you look on websites, if you look on the internet, you can't find very much about Native Americans because they're very secretive. They're everything on their land is very secret. They worship the land, you know. They worship and serve the creature more than the creator. And I'm going to be talking about that tonight. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and and unrighteousness of man, who holding the truth in unrighteousness, because that when they which may be known of God is manifest in them, For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Let's be thankful. Honestly, we have so much. We have so much. How many of us missed a meal today? Probably not many of us. How many of us are starving today? We live in the U.S. I mean, there's always food, you know? We have so much here where you go to Africa, you go to India, you go to many other different countries, and they have food. They don't have food, but us in America, we have food. We have water. We have everything we need and plus and more. And let's not be unthankful. You know, I see so many Christians unthankful. They're complaining about, not getting their food on time. I've seen that many times, you know, like going through a drive-thru. And let's be thankful. Amen. Let's really be thankful. And it says right here, it says, and they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changing the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to the birds, to the four-footed beasts, and the creeping things, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through their lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changing the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing me to preach today. I pray, Lord, that you would fill me with your Spirit. Help me not to say anything I should not say. Lord, help me to be a blessing to someone today, just to encourage them, this idea of winning souls to you, Father. Lord, please work on hearts. My words do nothing unless you're in it. I need you. Lord, we need you. And we ask for you to meet with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you guys are spiritual and love pizza? Yeah, we all love pizza. Yeah, amen. And I used to work at a fancy restaurant, Italian restaurant. I know you guys have a lot of Italian restaurants, but I worked at the best Italian restaurant in the world. It's called Pizza Hut. You know, I used to deliver pizzas, and I used to wash dishes, I used to mix wings, mix sauces and stuff, and then I used to make pizzas. I used to cut pizzas, I can't eat the pizza, but if you're missing a slice, it's probably me, just to let you know. I love pizza. You know, when I'm eating pizza, I think I'm going to be thinking about the pizzas, right? Pizzas. Okay, I'm going to try to remember that, okay? Pizzas. I'm going to think about it. Lord, please bless the pizzas. but when I was working at Pizza Hut, there's two things that motivated me to be the best worker. One, it was because I'm saved. I'm representing Christ. The Bible says in Matthew 5:16, it says, let your light so shine before men so they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. And the second reason why, it's simply job security. You know, I want to keep my job. You know, if I don't do the job, I'm not going to have a job. You know, and a lot of people today, they don't get that. You know, what I wanted to do is I wanted to move up in the company before I was called to working with the natives. I wanted to be a manager one day. And many religious people today think they can work their way to heaven. They think they can work up in positions in order to get to a place called heaven. You know, you take Islam. Islam prays three times a day. They give their money. They fast. You know, how many of us Baptists have fasted? You know? I mean, I'm sure some of us have, but we don't talk about it, you know? It's not the main topic Baptists talk about, you know, fasting, you know? But like Hinduism, good works. You know all about that, brother. They believe that if you... if I get this wrong, please don't throw a stone at me, okay? Okay, thank you. Yeah. You know, they believe in reincarnation. They believe that if you're a good person in this life, when you get old, when you pass on, you'll come back in the next life as a better person in society, richer, or you'll come back as an animal, like a lion, tiger. You know, if you're a bad person, you'll come back as a cockroach, a fly. You know, who wants to be a fly, kids? You only live 3 days, you know? You know, who wants to be that, you know? That is foolish, because we profess ourselves to be wise, but we become fools. Mormonism works. It's a work-based religion. You know, Native Americans, where we're going, it's a work-based religion. We're trying to please the spirits. We're trying to please our ancestors. But that's all works. That's all works. If you're not sure if you die today, if you're going to go to heaven, get that settled tonight. Get that settled tonight. Don't wait another day. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's the gift of God. You know, man's thinking is, I have to earn it my way. Jesus says, I am the way. John 14:6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh on the Father but by me. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Imagine, I was thinking about this the other day. Imagine if I had to give up my son for the sins of the world. I know I won't do it. But Jesus, God, he sent his son to die for the sins of the world. You think about that. Your kid. If you had one kid, would you sacrifice, allow him to be sacrificed for the sins of the world? That's how much God loved us. He loved us so much. You know, Isaiah 64:6 says, but our righteousness, our good works are as filthy rags. You know, man tries to bring God down to our level, tries to make God in our image when he's way above. He's holy. He's nothing like we can ever describe. You know, we bring down, we make churches an entertainment center. We try to, like, blare the music and stuff, and then we have like a 5-minute message, and it's not about the Word of God. They say it's about the entertainment, it's about bringing people in. No, I'm sorry, it's about the Word of God. It's about God's Word. It's the Word of God that changes people's hearts. It's not us. We try to bring God to our level. We have the big screens, and I'm not against screens, but don't let that be your main focus. Don't let that be your main focus. Our main focus is the Word of God. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. I preach this everywhere. I want everyone to know, church is not, this church, this building is not ours. This is God's house. Let's respect God's house. Let's take in consideration, who are we worshiping? You know, man says, I've been tempted by God, but God says in James 1:13, it says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot tempt with evil, neither tempt any man. We are tempted when we're drawn away from our own flesh. Let me use an illustration. Cookies. How many of you guys like chocolate chip cookies, kids? Yeah, and adults too. You know, we all love chocolate chip cookies. But when I'm trying to eat less, that's a temptation right there. We all know what temptations are. You know, we are tempted when we're drawn away from our own flesh. Satan talks to us and he tells us, you know, like Adam and Eve at the beginning. Satan didn't talk to our first parents all about the wondrous trees that God provided in the garden. He didn't say, you know, Eve, that's a beautiful tree, and that tree, and that tree, and that tree, that tree. No, he says, what about that tree God said you can't have? You know, a lot of us in the Christian life, we say, why can't I have that? Why can't I be with those people? Why can't I participate in their sinful activity? You know, that's what Satan gets us to focus on. You know, he gets us to focus on what God tells us not to do. He will do anything to get us to break fellowship with him. Satan wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy you. When we stop trying to please ourselves and start trying to please God, we find the hope we're looking for. We find peace in our heart that passeth all understanding. 1 Timothy 1:1 says, Jesus Christ, it speaks of, I'm going to have you guys turn there real quickly. I want you guys to see this, because this is our hope. 1 Timothy 1:1. I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you to hold your place in Romans. Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. You know, I was looking for hope when I was 16 years old, and I'll tell you this, there's a lot of people out there looking for hope. They're looking for something out there. They're searching. And they're finding the answer in all the wrong places because us Christians, we like to keep it to ourselves. We like to say, you know what? Everything's working out for me. I'm doing good. I'm doing good at work. I'm doing good with my family, training them up. But what about the lost souls? What about your coworkers? What about your neighbors? Are we thinking about them? You know, you guys might not be going to Spain or India, some of you, or the native reservation, but I'll tell you this, that you could reach the next person that will go there. You can reach the next D.L. Moody, you know. You could reach the next Hudson Taylor, but it won't happen unless we go tell. We got the word. We got the answer. The answer is the word of God. Jesus Christ, which is our hope. There is hope in this book. When I was 16 years old, I was looking for hope. Like I told you Monday night, I got saved when I was 16. I grew up in a drunkard's home, an abusive home. But God worked in my heart, and he brought me out of that lifestyle. And I went to, my uncle will tell me about the native tradition, how we're supposed to worship the eagle and spirit worship, and I didn't believe in any of that stuff. I didn't want nothing to do with it. I was a saved Christian. I got saved. And later on, God brought me a beautiful wife, a godly wife, one that fears God. And I thank the Lord for that. And then God got me to surrender. He got me to surrender because I didn't want to surrender. He got me to surrender to working with the Native Americans, even though I'm part Native. I'm a quarter. You know, but a lot of people, when I go to churches, people say, how are you going to reach them? How are you going to reach them? And I'm sorry, if you guys turn it back to Romans chapter 1, forgot to ask you guys to hold your place, but how are we going to reach them? And I tell people the same way you guys are going to reach them here. The same way you're going to reach them in Rome, New York. I like to say in Romans chapter 1, verse 14, Romans chapter 1, verse 14, the first point I have is by humility. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's just not thinking of yourself. You know, a lot of times we beat ourselves up, but it's not thinking of yourself. You know, Romans chapter 1, verse 14, it says, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. How many of you guys ever taught a Sunday school class and had a troubled kid? Had a kid who always messed around in class, troublemaker, would never sit still. I'm sure a lot of people had those kind of kids or teenagers in your class. You know, you're a debtor to that kid just as much as the one who is being behave. You know, we are supposed to invest our time not just in the wise, not just the people that tithe, go to church, bring their Bible, raise their kids for the Lord. We're supposed to also be a debtor to the ones who walk through this door who don't know anything about Jesus Christ or the ones that do but are struggling. Paul's saying, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the what? Unwise. We are debtors to everyone. Paul is saying that I'm nothing. I'm a debtor. The Bible says, I am bought with a price, therefore glorify God in my body. Holds, I love this song. I can't sing. Ask my wife. She says I can't carry a tune out of a bucket. My mom tells me the same thing. Her whole family sings, and I mess them all up. You know, I could get my church to sing because they don't want to hear me sing. But I love this song. The man on the street, the rich in the palaces, the poor and the unlearned, and the man of degree, they all have a soul in need of salvation. They all have to come to Calvary. I admit, when I go past people by, I don't always think of the gospel, giving them the gospel, but I should. God has given us his word. How are we going to reach the Native Americans? How are you guys going to reach Rome, New York? By humility. Stop thinking about yourself. Get your focus off yourself and get your focus on that one person that needs Christ. At your workplace, at your school, if you guys go to school, tell others about Christ. Get our minds off ourselves. Number two, how are we going to reach the Cocoa Puff for Christ? It's by preaching. By preaching God's word. You know, Charles Spurgeon once said, we are not responsible to God for the souls that are saved, but we are responsible for the gospel that is preached and for the way in which we preach it. Verse 15, it says this. Paul says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Paul was a preacher man. There's no doubt about it. He loved to preach. He loved to tell others about Christ. You know how we're going to reach this world for Christ? It's by preaching his word. Don't get in this paraphrasing. Get in the book. Show them the Romans road. Show them Ephesians chapter 2, how it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's the gift of God. Get our focus off ourselves. Get in the book and show people. We are wasting our time. We'd love to go on vacations, and I'm not against vacations, but let's get busy. Let's not just do family activities. Let's also encourage kids and families to get involved in ministry. People have gotten away from that. You know, it says, and you don't have to turn there, 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, for we preach Christ, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. In verse 21, you don't have to turn there. And it says, for after that, that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. When we preach, let's preach the word. 2 Timothy 4:2, it says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reproof, rebuke, exhort with all unsuffering of doctrine. And when we preach, let's preach in love. This is not a weapon post. We're not here just, you know, I'm getting that person right there and that person right there. I know their sin. We're not there to whip people. We're there to love them. When we preach, let's preach in love. Don't preach in anger and pride. Preach in love for the sinner. Let's practice what we preach. Let's practice. This is the hardest thing for a preacher, any preacher. It's practicing what we preach. When I preach this message, I'm under conviction every time because I know that I walk by someone and I can't give them the gospel. But it reminds me every time I preach this message too. Practice what you preach. Number three, boldness. Boldness is not being afraid. It says not afraid, confident in a way that may seem rude or foolish. Verse 16, it says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Paul was a preacher. He was bold in his witness. Like I told you Monday night, when I got saved, I wanted to tell others about Christ, and I didn't know how to read until I was 22 years old. I would grab a bunch of tracts and start passing them out, telling others, letting people know, hey, here, take one. You know? When I was a new Christian, I went to a swim party, and I'm not encouraging anyone to go there, but But when I was a new Christian, I went to a swim party, and I was just having a good day, you know, no problems or anything. And I looked at my friends, and I said, you know what? God's been good. They all looked at me like, who is this person? Like, who are you? You know, I used to be the guy that cusses all the time. I used to be the alcoholic. I used to be I don't even know what I was. I was drunk. You know, I don't even remember half the stuff, but I used to cuss a lot. And people look at me and saying, and now they're looking at me like, who is this guy? Who is this guy? I'd say I had to be bold in my witness, and so do you. When I wanted to let other people know about Christ, I had to be bold. A lot of us have unsafe family members. Moms, dads, brothers, sisters, be bold. Give the gospel out. Be bold. You know, someone said this to me at camp. He says, diligence plus dependence equal victory. Diligence, consistency. Dependence on God. And that will bring victory. Don't give up. If you're struggling with something today, don't give up. Give it to God. He can help you. How are we going to reach the native reservations? How are we going to reach India for Christ, Spain for Christ, Africa, you name it? How are we going to reach this world for Christ? The same way you guys are going to do it here. It's by humility. It's by humility. By preaching God's word and taking a stand and being bold and giving the gospel. I believe if we do these three things, we will see a lot more people come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing me to preach. I pray, Lord, that this message was a help to someone today. I pray, Lord, that we remember there are people dying without you. We need you, Lord. We really do. I pray, Lord, that you would burn in our hearts to go out door knocking and tell more people about Christ, about your good name. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, amen, brother. That was good. Luke chapter 4, our main message, our main text should be in Luke chapter 4, if you have your Bible with you. Luke chapter 4. While we're turning there, I want to say thank you to Pastor Carpenter and to giving us the opportunity to come for this mission conference. It was great. And I want to say that the food was amazing. Those food was good. Those people who actually cook the food are really a great chef, I would say. I'm used to eating sweet potatoes in Papua New Guinea, so everything was good, all right? To me, it's all good, so thank you. And we want to say thank you to our host, Amy and Tony, for hosting us. It was a wonderful family. We had a great time with them as well. And I want to say thank you for that. And I'm glad that I'm not going to be here when there's snow. So I'll be out of here. Because the first time I saw snow, I was so excited, and I stand out for 1 hour outside of the snow. And then I thought snow usually comes out of ground or something. And then when I saw like white stuff coming down, I was like, wow, this is awesome. And I stand out there for 1 hour, and I was laying like this, and the snow just covered me. 1 hour. And then when I went in, I saw like my hands were like white, freezing. I'm like, what's going on? It was the snow, and I tell you, don't do that. And I learned my lesson. There. So I'm excited to be here, and we had a really great time. And thank you for all the messages, for the challenges. It was a great missions conference that we had. The Roman government has banished John to the island of Patmos that we know in the Aegean Sea, that's in the Greek, off the coast of Asia Minor, today is the modern Turkey. While he was there, the glorified Son of Jesus Christ appeared to him, and he gave him a vision. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last." And And churches, I want to remind all of us today that we are serving someone who is eternal. We are serving someone who said, I'm the beginning and I'm the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the only begotten Son of God. He is the one who knew no sin, that he might that we might be made righteous of God in him. He is the one that set us free from the bondage of sin. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And I'm excited we are serving that God. And that's the God that we are serving today. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, came down to this earth. He humbled himself and became the atonement for our sin. So that we can be set free from the bondage of our sin. And I'm so happy that I can see this. When I saw this from darkness to light, when I saw this, it reminds me of how I was in Papua New Guinea. When the light came into the darkness, it just reminds me, and I saw this theme, and it just excites me, and I was so excited when I saw this theme of this missions conference. Because Christ came to displace darkness. He came to displace darkness. Nothing will displace darkness. It's only light. And this morning I was talking to the Sunday school, the teens, for their chapel, and I told them, if I switch off this light, it's going to get dark. When I turn on the light, it's going to get bright. The light displaces the darkness. And Jesus Christ said, he is the light of the world. And that's the one that we are serving. He came to deliver us from our captivity of sin. He gave us a new sight, a new eye. He came to heal the brokenhearted and give hope to the hopeless. And I'm excited that this is the Savior that we are serving today. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he came not to do his own will, but he came to do the Father's will. And that's the God that we are serving. And I'm excited that I'm serving that. I know this Savior. I'm excited that I'm no longer worshiping some spirit in the mountains or some spirit in the river. But I'm saving a master who is dead, but no longer dead. He is risen. And that's the Savior that I'm saving. And I am excited today that that's the God that we are serving. And today I want to talk about God's business. And I want to ask you this question. Are you in God's business? Are we in God's business? Because Jesus Christ came and he had a business to take care of. He had a business to take care of. And I want you to put your attention back to Luke chapter 4. We're going to start reading at Luke chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. And if you have your Bible with you, let's read there. Let's stand up for the respect of God's word. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. The Bible says, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful mission conference that you have that we had in this church, Lord. Thank you for the ministry of Pastor Carpenter and the church family here. Lord, bless this ministry. Let them be the lighthouse of this city and this town here in Rome, New York, Lord. And thank you for all the missionaries and all the words, all your word that we heard this time during the vision conference. Lord, use this word, Lord. I'm nothing, but use your word and speak to your people to challenge us and to help us in our work of faith. We thank you, we love you, and ask this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. In this passage, I understand that it was as the custom where Christ went to the synagogue, and then in those times, the Bible, the Old Testaments were actually written in scrolls. We are lucky that that someone had to work hard to gather the Bible together, the Old Testament and New Testament together, and we have this Bible, all right? And in those times, they had written in scrolls, and they put the scrolls in a special place in the synagogue, and when the readers comes out, they give the scroll to read it. And Jesus Christ was given this book. I believe it's the book of Isaiah. And you will find that in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 2, the passage that we just read. And he was given that passage. And today I want to take 4 points out of that passage that we're going to be looking at. This passage about God's business. Christ came to do a business. And the question would be, are we in God's business? My friend, one of my friends from high school, his father is a businessman. And I was able to get chance to chat with him, and I asked him. He has like a lot of business, right? And I asked him, you have all these businesses, and what do you really think in your mind? Like, do you sleep? What do you think? Like, I wanted to know that question, and I asked him. And he said, you know what? I'm a businessman. I'm all about profit. I'm all about extending my business. I'm all about getting customers, he said. Every day, that's what I think. And then that reminds me of, if I'm in God's business, I should be all about winning souls. I should be all about sending people so that people can hear about their gospel. Amen. I should be all about winning people to come to church. Amen. If I am in God's business. Remember that when Christ was 12 years old and he was lost for 3 days, and they Mary and Joseph, they found him, and they found him in the temple. And he said in Luke chapter 2, verse 49, I should be about my father's business. I believe that we should also be about my father's business. Amen. Number one, Christ came to preach the gospel to the poor. Spiritually destitute, spiritually bankrupt in spirit. Christ did not only preach to the common man, to the poor, but those people who were spiritually destitute, those who were bankrupt. And I want to tell you that without Christ, we are spiritually bankrupt, spiritually destitute. Because Christ is the one that will give us hope. And when Christ lives in us and through us, we see that our spirit is renewed. And we have a new spirit that is Holy Spirit. There are millions and millions of people who live in poverty. They live in harsh conditions. The brother Phil talked about the 1040 window. Those people who live in those 1040s window, those people who live along those countries, who live in a very poverty line, below poverty line. They eat very small meals. And people, it's unevangelized. People, it's so harsh that people cannot really go there sometimes. Very few people are going there. Majority of those places do not know about the one true God that you and I are serving. And I'm excited that we are serving that God. And I want to say that we are privileged. Amen. That we are serving that God. But what about those people that doesn't know about the God that we are serving? Instead, they believe in idols. They believe in spirits. I grew up in Papua New Guinea. I grew up in a very remote village. Very remote village. And at the age of 11, that's when I actually first saw a vehicle. So that was so remote. That's how it was. There was no road coming in. There was no telephone in there. So actually, while I was here in the U.S., when I went there, they had telephone like just 5 years ago. So that's when we were able to get cell service, just 5 years ago. That's how remote it was. I was driving through some towns in New York, and I saw like village of this, village of Seneca, or village of this. And I was like, oh, this village in the New York. I'm like, oh. I don't know what the name I'm going to give to my village, because the village here are so much better than my village back there. So maybe village of hut, because in our village, you see it's pretty much hut, right? There is no electricity, so you won't see light in the night. It's dark in the night. It's kind of neat because I go out in the night and I see the whole place is quiet. There is no light. It's so dark. And sometimes it reminds me of the dark world, the people who are living in sin. And when Christ comes, you know, he lights up the world. And it gives me a clear examples. And sometimes I would tell my wife, come here, let's go see this. And then around like 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, people are sleeping. and the whole village is so quiet. And there, I want to say that the othermost part of the world, the gospel came. The gospel came. I don't know how it came, but it came. The gospel came because someone from the U.S., they came to preach the gospel. Someone sent them, and they came. That's how, in that village growing up, that's how I actually heard the gospel. A missionary, a church like you, people like you, send someone out there so that they can go and preach the gospel to those people. They were in God's business. Someone was in God's business, and they said, out. And that's how I heard the gospel. And I want to say that the gospel is still going. And we must still in God's business so that we can send the gospel, not only in our community here, in our country here, but to the othermost part of the world there. Because people need the gospel. People need Jesus Christ. And we must be in God's business to do that. We must think about God's business. Every day when we walk, or when we talk, or our acts, our actions, everything must reflect God's business, because people need that. And number two here, he saw them brokenhearted. If you can write down, you can look at verse 18. He saw them brokenhearted. Broken life, broken marriage, broken relationship. People seem to find happiness in alcohol. People seem to find drugs. I can remember in the village, people, even though they believe, they tend to come to church or they tend to do other things, but they go to the jungle, and there's a special tree that they have where they get the juice of that tree, and when they drink it, it's like drug in here. And they drink all those, and then they go crazy. And then when I came here, I found out that people do all kinds of alcohol, so they do all those drugs and all kinds of stuff. And you know why? They are doing this because they are finding happiness. They are broken. They are broken. But I want to tell you that there is one thing that will complete them. They will fix them. They will mend them is the blood. Without the blood, there is no remission. And the blood has power. In the name of Jesus, has power. And they need Jesus. We give them Jesus. Let's give them Jesus. And we must be in God's business to do that. Psalms 34 verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. It is not just that the Lord is near the brokenhearted. He saves them. He preserves them. He keeps them from self-destructing. And we have to tell. We have to be witnesses unto the lost. We have to tell those people. There is someone, the brother preached about that. There is someone in your neighbor, or there is someone in your workplace who are brokenhearted, who are going through some trouble, but you do not know. But we have to give them the gospel. We have to give them Jesus. Because the blood has power. He has done the finished work. And our job is to be in his business and to let the gospel do the job. To let the blood of Christ do the job. And are we seeing the brokenhearted? We are his disciples. We are his ambassadors. We have to put our focus, and we have to be in God's business. My wife and I, we used to travel a lot. And I want to say that there's a lot of tolls in this New York area. All right? A lot of tolls. While I was in California, there's only one toll, San Francisco Bridge. And that was awesome. We just have to drive. And we always carry tracks with us around, and after I give the money, I always give the track. And mom like, you explain to them what they're, explain to them that that's the track I'm giving to them. I'm like, no, you know what? If I don't tell them, I just said that, hey, here's a really awesome thing for you. It's a gift for you. I just give it to them. Because some people, if you say it's a track for you, they're like, no, I'm good. They will not get it. Put them in suspense. I said, I want to put it in suspense. All right? When I say something special, they will take it home and they will read it. All right? It's anything that we can do. I just put them in suspense. I just give the track. And I was like, yeah, I think that's a really cool idea. I'm like, yes. And I want to say that let's be in God's business. Because people need it. People need it. Christ was in God's business as well. We, as a follower, We have his disciples. We have his ambassadors. We have a business to take care of. Wherever we go, there are souls out there broken. Wherever we go, there is people out there who need Jesus Christ. They are lost. They are looking for answers everywhere, but they will not find it. But we will find it in Jesus Christ. They will find it only in Jesus Christ. And this reminds me of a story. Not story, but it reminds me of my life story of my grandfather. Right, my grandfather actually saw the World War II. Right? He's like 86 or something. He was little like that. He used to say that when he sees the huge airplane flying above the sky, he said that he used to think huge bird. So he will take his bow and arrow up there, and he was trying to shoot the big birds. And he tells me those stories. And he grew up in that spiritual world. And we believe, the belief is like, they believe that if you need something, their ancestors, when they die, they go and stay up in the mountains. In our tribes, we believe they stay up in the mountains. So I can remember when I was a kid, he would take me up there. And there are some specific rules that some things that you shouldn't say while you are in the jungle. There is some specific stuff that you should do and you shouldn't do, right? And there are some things like you shouldn't eat before you go to the mountains. It's rules that you have to follow because you will make the spirits angry. Those are some of the beliefs that we had. They still have it. But you know what? My grandfather, even before my dad got saved, because someone was in God's business and who sent a missionary to Papua New Guinea, 10,000 miles from the U.S. to Papua New Guinea, he heard the gospel. And he is a new person. He is a saved person. And this guy, I tell you, he is fire for the Lord. Like, he will go around and he will go to witness to the other old man, his same age. My grandfather. And my dad is still he's not saved. Because he still have the chief name, and he still want to have that name, and he is still not unsaved. But I want to tell you that good news is the last year, when my wife and I went there, my dad got saved on December. Amen. And that excites me that, you know, when I go back, it excites me that I want to see my people coming to know Lord. Amen. And that is one of the reasons why I was doing engineering in Pensacola, and the Lord called my heart. If you do engineering and you stay in the U.S., you'll stay here and your people will die. But if I go and if I give them not money, not clothes, not food, but if I give them, if I go back to my village and if I give them Jesus Christ, that's what they need. So that when they die, they will not go and spend their life in hell, but they will go to heaven. And they need to know the Savior. And we should be in God's business. So that people like that, people out there can know about Jesus Christ that we are serving, the true God that we are serving. I'm not talking about those spirits. I'm not talking about the reincarnation that we are talking about. Speaking of reincarnation, I've been watching this documentary in northern India where I'm scared of rats, all right? And one of the deity of is rats, and that's temple. It's like that Catholic, the big chapel like that. The temple is like that. And I watched that today too. I was like, let me see it. I watch it. And it's scary. I am scared of rats. So people go out there and they sit there and they eat with the rats. They feed the rats. And one of the priests there who takes care of the rats and say, maybe this must be one of my sister that passed away. This must be one of my grandfather that passed away. All right. Isn't it sad? Isn't it sad? We need to tell people about that. The one who is not dead, but one who resurrected, and who is up there? One true God, the creator of all creation, who created that rats, who created those monkeys, who created the rivers, the trees, and everything. That's a God that we need to tell people about. And we should be fired for it because we know the truth. We know that there is a place waiting for us, and we should be in his business. And every day, we should think about God's business. And we should think about what we should do to go out there and gain people to come. To go out there and send people so that they can go out there. You know that there's some countries in this world that ban Bible. They don't want Bible. Like China, North Korea, no Bible is there. And people are going through persecution. And I want to say that people need Jesus Christ. We need to give Jesus Christ. And today I just want to say, I don't want to preach about all kinds of stuff, but I want to preach Jesus Christ because Amen. That makes a big difference in my life. Amen. When I received Jesus Christ in that village, my life changed. And I don't know if I'm going to be here preaching like this. I'm going to tell you that for sure. If Jesus Christ, if the gospel was not in my village, I don't know if I'm going to be here. If someone in the U.S. didn't send a missionary to Papua New Guinea, I don't know if I'm standing up here and preaching the word of God. I don't know if my uncle, if my dad and my grandfather and my mother and my family and the three-quarter of this village is saved now, my village. I don't know if those people would be saved. Some of them would be in hell already. But someone was in God's business and he sent them. And finally, he came to give us a new sight. A new sight. Spiritual blindness because of sin. People are blinded. Souls are blinded. A person does not see God, does not know God. And sadly, they are dying. Those who haven't heard the Gospels, those who haven't heard about Jesus Christ, they are blinded by all these things that we have said. All the spirits, all these different gods, they are bombarded by their rituals and culture and all these things. But we need to send someone out there. Christ came to give us a new spiritual sight. And we see that through the Holy Spirit in us. We see things different. I can see that. I see things different. Now, when I go to the village, I tell them, hey, I see things different. And my grandfather stays with me and he said, we see things different because we have a new sight. We see things different. We are no longer compromised with our culture and with all the stuff. And people know already in the village that we don't do the culture. We don't do all those customs. And when there is something happening like that, when I'm working, they hide those stuff. When I'm going by and when we are going by, they hide all those practices that they are doing. And they know that it is not, we don't like that. They know that we don't buy into that because we are following someone who is true. Paul describes Satan as the cause of spiritual blindness in his letter to the Corinthians. Satan is the father of lie, and he's telling lies to all these people about all, he is giving them all kinds of gods. He is giving them all kinds of spirits, and Satan is the father of lie. He's decepting them. It's a deception. But there is only one way where they will get their spiritual sight is when they receive Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit goes into your heart. That's the only way they will do it. And I want to say that let's be in God's business. Let's be in God's business. And I want to say thank you to all the missionaries, all the pioneer missionaries, those missionaries who are already on the field. I want to say so. Thank you so much for answering the calls. Thank you so much for going out there. Thank you so much for being in God's business. And thank you for the pastors, the American pastors, the church members who are in God's business so that they want to send missionaries out there. They want to help people to go out there to tell the people about the light of the world, to tell the people about the Lamb of the world, the one true God, the true Savior that we are serving. 10,000 miles from the U.S., to the heart of Papua New Guinea, the gospel came because someone sent. We should be in God's business. No Christian is saved. No Christian is saved to sit, but we are saved to serve. And we should remember that. We are saved to serve God. And the question is, are we in God's business? Are you in God's business? Because people are dying. Every minute, people are dying and they are going to hell. While we know the truths, while we know this God, we must not keep it within ourselves. We have a commission. We have a commission. Christ said, go into the world and preach the gospel. Thank you.
All right, listen, let's try to be back in here in about 6 to 7 minutes. Where's Brother Mike? But anyway, choir, if you're going to sing tonight, get back there and practice and get back in here, 6-7 minutes, all right? So let's take a quick break. Let's go to the restroom. You Patch kids, you can go to Patch, and we'll come and get you shortly, all right? All right, you're dismissed for now. Choir? Brother Pratt?